Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring and that's my superfine wife, Beth.
Today's Do Not Fear scripture comes out of Daniel. Daniel 10, verse 12 says, "Then he continued, 'Do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard and have come in response, and I have come in response to them.'"
Amen.
Wow. Okay.
I love it. I do. On today's call,
yes,
we're going to discuss, well, I'm excited about it.
You know, yeah.
Seven reasons.
Go ahead.
Why you're a genius.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about you, Beth.
Oh, thank you.
And everybody listening.
That's right.
You may be a genius and you may not even know it. Why, well, you may not qualify for membership in the Mensa Society, whose members have an IQ of 130 and above. We believe you're a genius.
And God does, too.
Yes, he does.
And we're about to prove it.
In fact, our definition of genius is the same as Thomas Edison, who had an IQ of 140. Edison said, "Genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration."
There you go.
If you got the inspiration with motivation and are willing to put up with a lot of perspiration, then in our book, you're a genius.
Mm.
Allow us to share seven reasons why you're a genius.
Need to be reminded, number one, your DNA. You are a child of the Most High God. You are a child of a king. You're the offspring of the master of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, and all that it contains. And you were made in his image and after his likeness. Hallelujah. Genesis 1:26 says, "And God said, 'Let us make man in our image after our likeness.'" You know, we like to quote that on occasion, truly. And just to remind you where you came from, came from the great I Am. And when you say, "I am Dave, I am Diane," that's telling you you came from the great I Am. But let's personalize this scripture. "And God said, 'Let us make Ray in our image after our likeness.' And God said, 'Let us make Esther
in our image and after our likeness.'"
That's it. "And God said, 'Let us make Denise in our image after our likeness.'" You can add your name no matter what, you know, how many times. You don't have to just wait on us. Do it yourself. This is good. Our genealogy includes Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yes.
They were all multimillionaires. Our genealogy also includes Solomon, the wisest man of all his time and all the time on earth except for Jesus. Our status, our standing, our DNA is further confirmed through Galatians 3:29. Galatians 3:29 says, "And if ye be in Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise."
That's so good. Number two, your mind. If you're a Christian, even an imperfect Christian, and you haven't met any other kind, well, you have the mind of Christ. Don't ever forget that. We're not making it up to make you feel good. It's in the Word.
That's right.
So, 1 Corinthians 2:16. "For who hath known the mind of God that he may instruct him? But we have." Hallelujah. We have the mind of Christ. There are way too many believers who sell themselves short because they feel they're not smart enough. That's just not the case. If you believe the Word of God, you have the mind of Christ, and that makes you one of the smartest people around. Whether or not you choose to use the mind of Christ is another question. Our prayer today and every day is for the mind of Christ to function fully and freely within you every minute of every day. We hope it's your prayer.
Amen. Number three, your common sense. It's not as common as it used to be, is it?
Huh.
But if you're a genius, but you lack the ability to understand and communicate with people who aren't, your success in life could be limited. We happen to think that people who demonstrate common sense on an everyday level are really, level in life, I should say, are in fact the real geniuses. Common sense is defined in dictionary.com as sound practical judgment that is independent of specialized knowledge or training. Let me read that again. Common sense is nothing but sound practical judgment that is independent, has nothing to do with specialized knowledge or training. What's the origin of all wisdom and common sense? Proverbs 2:6 Contemporary English Version says, all wisdom comes from the Lord, and so do common sense and understanding. Look, God has no respecter of persons. What he gives to one, he's willing to give to all. The difference is what we choose to do with what we have been given. In Proverbs 3:13 Contemporary English Version, it says, God blesses everyone who has wisdom and common sense.
Yes.
The scripture is clear, though. God expects us to use common sense. In Luke 12:57, Message Bible says, you don't have to be a genius to understand these things. Just use your common sense.
Wow.
When we're obedient to God's direction using common sense, we can be successful. Proverbs 8:14, New Living Translation says, common sense and success belong to me. Insight and strength are mine.
Number four, your inspiration. Do you have anybody in your life that inspires you? Perhaps a parent, a teacher, a coach, best friend, pastor, business associate. Now, I have to tell you, my fine wife, Beth, being number one, always inspires me. Grace, dignity, wisdom, and spiritual balance.
Thank you, darling.
My parents.
We're always a source of inspiration.
Absolutely.
To not just you, but a ton of other people.
And Mom still is.
That's right.
To the extent that we can operate without limitation. Some are not as fortunate to have a loving spouse and highly supportive parents. But everybody has a constant source of inspiration. That's never wavered, never comes and goes. Has been a rock steady even before we made them the Lord of our lives.
That's it.
John 1:14, Classic Amplified. And the Word, Christ, became flesh, human, incarnate, and even tabernacled, fixed his tent of flesh, lived a while among us.
Mm-mm.
2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for knowledge, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished to all good works.
Amen. Number five, your commitment. Some years ago, and we used to do this when we used to speak, we used the story of the chicken and the pig to help people understand what real commitment
is.
It says the chicken and the pig were walking down the street, around the road, and they saw some, the chicken said to the pig, hey, I think we should open a restaurant. And the pig says, maybe so. What would we call it? He goes, how about if we call it ham and eggs? The pig thinks for a moment and he says, I don't think so, really. He said, you only have to be involved, but I have to make a total commitment. God wants us focused and totally committed to his instructions in the Word and not just, easy to say you're going to be committed. Philippians 3:15 in the Message Bible says, so let's keep focused on that goal, those of us who want everything God has for us. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it.
Great scriptures. Number six, your preparation. I personally think the greatest definition of genius was offered by Vince Lombardi, the legendary coach of the Green Bay Packers. He once said, plan your work your plan. God likes it when we plan our work and work our plan of commitment to his kingdom. Proverbs 21:5, New Living Translation. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Through the scriptures, we can see where planning and preparing is important to God. If it's important to him, it had better be important to us. Joshua 7:13, New Living Translation. Get up, command the people to purify themselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. And among you, O Israel, are things that are apart for the Lord. Set apart for the Lord. Thank you. You will never defeat your enemies till you remove these things from among you. Part of our daily preparation should be to sanctify ourselves, consecrate, and yes, prepare ourselves for what lies ahead. Our preparation needs to be blended with expectation. We'll say that again. Our preparation needs to be blended with expectation. Joshua 3:5. For tomorrow, Jehovah will do wonders among you. One last thought. Part of preparation is planning. Do you have a plan? What you're going to do today, tomorrow, the day after? If you don't have a plan for the day will have a plan for you.
And number 7, your perspiration. Thomas Edison, whom we quoted earlier, said, being busy does not always mean real work. The object of all our work is production or accomplishment. And to either of these ends, there must be forethought, system, planning, intelligence, and honest purpose, as well as perspiration. Seeming to do is not doing. Genesis 3:19 says, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, from out of it wast thou taken. The dust, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Sweet equity, once you make the sweat equity, comes from a result
that's good.
Of the sins of Adam and Eve, though. If we want to eat and provide, succeed, we're going to need to put in the work. In other words, put in the sweat. When you work hard, you perspire. When you're under pressure, you sweat. Napoleon Hill once said, great man, patience, persistence, and perspiration make an unbeatable combination for success. Point being is that, as we were talking about, you can have these 7 qualities that require to be a genius if you follow God, obey his instructions, and that determines if we are true geniuses or not, putting what God has placed within us to work for the kingdom. Hallelujah. God is good.
All the time.
Amen.
Until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.